Well, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm trying to decide if I want to do what I felt like I was going to do or go some other direction here. Praise God. Does anybody out there have any testimonies? I mean, I don't give you guys much of a chance to give testimonies that much, but does anybody have a testimony they'd like to give? Okay. I tell you what, anybody has a testimony, come up here. Come on up here. We'll get you on the tape here. Just come on up here. Yeah. I want you to talk into the microphone here so we get you on the tape. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Sue and I met together last night. We meet together. We pray on the phone. We pray together if either one of us are going through something. I'm not going to go into detail about this week, but this week has been something. And this morning at 3 o'clock, my water heater, this hose came off. I woke up hearing this water. I didn't know where it was coming from. Went in the kitchen. Floor flooded. Mm-hmm. Utility room. Floor. Where is the water heater? In the closet in the master bedroom behind the wall. Clothes, mm-hmm. Everything. And Charles and Tobias. Tobias knew where to turn the water off because I live in a double-wide mobile home. And then we had to go, Charles and I had to go to the storage shed to get a wet and dry vac that Buddy had in my storage. Came back, but none of us upset. I just look at how everything worked out. We didn't get to bed, back to bed till what, 5? Because this happened to around 3. Sue comes, texts me, I'm here. I was still asleep. I don't know whether I turned the alarm off or what happened. But we had just met together earlier that night for several hours. A lot of things have transpired this week, you know, with my with Savannah. Just a lot of things have happened. But I was reading in Power and Praise, and God just was telling me that all these situations, all these circumstances, all that things have happened for me to praise Him. Amen. That in the midst of these, He's doing a work in me.
God.
And no matter what I am seeing in those around me that I've been disgusted with, because I've been there, and looked at them and thought, am I really hearing from you, God? Should I really taken Savannah and all these things? And God said, yes, because I'm going to work in you. And I want you to love those that are most unloving. Those that we look at and don't want to love. But God wants so to love them through us. And I'm telling you, He's done a work. I know it's going to continue. But I'm telling you, I thank God for everything that happened this week. Everything that looked negative, God said it wasn't negative because in the midst of it, I'm speaking to you. Yeah. I'm wanting my son to become greater in and through your life. And I thank God for it. I'm telling you, we can look at our families or anyone that's gone through situations. Don't pray them out. Look to see what God wants you to pray for them. And God will show me, you are not their salvation.
Amen.
I am their salvation. What happened to you? I drew you. You didn't hunger and thirst and come after me. I drew you to this place that you wanted me above all else. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
I want it for all my brothers and sisters. And I thank God for every difficult situation, everything He's bringing, because I know He's revealing Himself greater in me and through me. Thank God.
Praise God. Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Pardon me. Well, y'all know about my son and his heroin addiction, and he's been in recovery at the Salvation Army Center in Norwood. And about a month ago, he called up and said, Dad, I'm going to get baptized, which I know he'd started to go to church while he was there, And like I was talking to Clyde this morning, I was a little cautious and hopeful at the same time. For anyone that's ever known anybody that's gone through anything like this, you got to be real cautious because it just seems to be an endless cycle. Well, anyway, I was thinking of just testifying about this morning. He was allowed out Friday for the first time to go off the property, and I picked him up, and we did a couple things Friday night. I kind of started to notice that he was different. He had gotten baptized, didn't really talk about the Lord much. I didn't with him because Oscar told me to keep my hands off. And if there's someone that's going to goof it up, it's going to be me. So not too much of my tongue's left from biting it. And I'm riding him back because he had to be back. And I'm thinking to myself, this is such a wonderful experience. Well, all of a sudden he goes, Dad, you know my favorite Bible verse is? I said, what? And he told me. And we start talking about the Lord. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, I was on 71, going up 71. And I've heard people say this, and the thought came to me, you know, should I pull over and ask him who he was and what have you done with my son? Because it's a complete transformation. I can't see a single character attribute that he had before he went in there until now. And all I could do was smile and thank the Lord. So
praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus. I give him the glory because I'd have goofed it up if I didn't open my mouth.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Rich, you come up here a minute. Rich, come up here a minute. Yeah.
I believe Oscar said testimonies. Well, I'm going through some tests. But I'm not going through any tests alone. And I already believe God's passed all the tests.
Amen.
And he passed them for not only himself, but for me.
Yes.
So to be honest with you, I'm not hearing my strength. I'm hearing his.
Amen.
I don't no longer work in my strength. I work in his.
Amen.
The boss don't understand it, but he doesn't have to. But God is God. He's still on the throne.
Amen.
And he has a plan for our lives.
Yes, he does.
And he's going to fulfill it.
Absolutely.
And we shall see it, and we shall be it. And you know what? It's all about him.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Did you get it? Did you get it?
And let all doubt and fear be gone.
Praise
in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and read that. If you will.
We read a scripture. We were in Psalm 62 at Sunday school, so come join us if you haven't. But anyway, I read this at the end. Y'all have heard us preach out of the Phillips Bible many times, I'm sure. So this is probably my favorite verse out of Phillips. I mean, he nails it big time. In fact, the title of it is, it's in James 1. We all know the scripture, but we don't know it like this unless you've heard it from J.B. Phillips. The title is Christians Can Even Welcome Trouble.
Come on.
Yeah. And what it says is when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers and my sisters, don't resent them as intruders. Wow. But welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord. You know, I just felt like that's the way the Lord wanted to go here. And you know what? So many times when troubles and trials come into our life, we do resent them as intruders. And we do look at it and begin to say, oh, God, why is this happening to me? Bro, sister so-and-so over there, she never has no problems. Or brother so-and-so, he never has no problems. Just seems like they all fall on me. We get to kind of pity party in ourselves once in a while. But you know what? If we'll do what that says there in James, don't look at those things as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Begin to praise God right in the middle of the situation. And you'll find that when you do that, just like I read you that scripture out of Hosea where, you know, we'll sing as in our youth and begin to praise God. And then he's going to begin to call you, he wants you to call him your husband. No longer just call him Lord, but begin to call him your husband. And you know, when you call somebody Lord, that's a name or a title of authority, you know. But when you call someone your husband, that's a title of intimacy. Different, you know. He wants us to be intimate with him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to share what I had here, and we'll see how this goes. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you today out of 1 Peter. And we're gonna start off here with verse 2. And I'm going to do a little bit of teaching today. And verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. And you know, if I didn't read you anything else at all today, that'd be enough. But you know, I took a look at some of them words, and this, when I was on vacation, I was looking at this scripture and I was doing some word studies on these words. And, you know, we just went through an election. And, you know, a lot of people got elected and a lot of people didn't get elected, you know. And, you know, when someone runs in a race, they have very little to do with whether or not they're actually elected. Once it comes down to the time of voting, it's all up to the folks who are voting. And it doesn't make any difference what they said or what they did, but there's going to be some candidates that you like, and there's going to be some candidates that you don't like for some reason, whatever it is. And, you know, I love that God says elect, and he says according to the foreknowledge of God. And I'm going to tell you, that word elect there literally means to select by implication to be the favorite. Aren't you glad you're the favorite? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm glad I'm his favorite. You say, well, Oscar, what about, that's awful precocious of you thinking you're God's favorite. I got news for you. Every one of you are his favorite.
Yes, amen.
You know, somebody can say to me, hey, who is your favorite grandson? You know, I got six of them. I do have one favorite granddaughter, though. There's just one of them. She holds a kind of special place because she's the only one. But, you know, when somebody says, who's your favorite grandson? Well, you know, I'd probably have to tell them, well, probably the one that's standing right in front of me today. Because they're all favorite to me at certain times, you know, when I'm talking to them or when I'm dealing with them or when I'm watching them play ball or going to a concert that they're doing, or what all the things that grandparents do. Jim said to me today, he says, about this morning when I came in, he said, we were talking about the weather, and he says, aren't you glad you kind of get a break? Because the sports kind of died down for a while. I said, well, yeah, in a way. I said, but, you know, I really enjoy going and watching them, but it is kind of good to get a little bit of a break because we do a lot of running around watching sports and different things. But I enjoy doing that. You know why? Because they're my favorite. And you know, I want you to know that you're God's favorite. There's no other one like you. You're the only one like you. And when he looks at you, when he deals with you, you are his favorite. And that word literally means implication, favorite. It means chosen, and it means elect. And I'm going to do a breakdown on this whole verse here, or pretty much of this whole verse. The next word there is elect according to the foreknowledge. And that word according there is a preposition that it means down in place or time. And aren't you glad that God came down in your life at a certain place and a certain time and began to view you as his favorite? Boy, I am. I don't know. I don't think I'd be standing up here today had he not done that. And then the next word there is according. Elect according to the foreknowledge. And I love this because it means forethought, foreknowledge. It comes from a word that means beforehand. It means foreseen. He foreknew, and he ordained you. You are ordained. You say, well, Brother Oscar, I don't have a little certificate that tells me I'm ordained. You don't need a certificate. You're ordained. He has ordained you to do certain things that nobody else can do. And, you know, and it means to know before. And I'm going to go back over. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And the word for God there is the word Elohim. He was the creator. And it says, according to God the Father. And I love this word here, Father. In Strong's, it sort of has the meaning of parent, you know. But I love what Thayer's has it. Thayer's Greek lexicon has it like this. It comes from a root that means PA. What's PA? Pa? You ever watch any shows where, Pa? How you doing, Pa? You know, I watch The Rifleman once in a while. And Margaret used to like Mark on there. That's why Mark was named Mark, because when she was a kid, she kind of had a crush on that guy. Mark didn't know that, I don't think. But, you know, she named him Mark. And Mark would always come in and call Lucas McCain. He'd call him Pa. But it literally means Pa. And it literally has the meaning of nourisher, protector, upholder, the thought, and the next word there is the thought of, or through, en, which means a fixed position in place, time, state, or relationship of rest. And you know what? Literally, he's your nourisher. He's your protector. He's your upholder. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't know about any of you all, but I'm going to tell you, any of my grandkids or any of my children, I'd do anything in the world I could to protect them. And you know, I'm just a natural man. But I tell you what, God is so beyond that when it's concerning you. He's so beyond that. And you know, so many, many times we've been in situations, I know I've been in situations in my lifetime where I could have been shot, where I could have had a lot of things happen to me. And God was my protector. Yes. And he had to be my protector in those situations. And I'm going to tell you what. He is your protector. He is your nourisher. He does uphold you, you know. And he's got you in a place of fixed position in place, time, state, and a relationship of rest. Now, the only time that we don't rest, it's when we don't trust. Then we begin to start trying to do things on our own and start trying to work things out on our own. Well, when we do that, then guess what? because of unbelief, we don't enter into the rest. He wants us to enter into that place of rest. And when we do, then we're in that place of protection. We're in that place where he's nourishing us, where he's upholding us. And literally, he is our pa. Praise the Lord. And the next word there was sanctification. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And the word sanctification there means purification. And it, and in the Thayer's, it literally says a state of purity, consecration, purification. The effect of consecration and sanctification of the heart and the life. And you know, aren't you glad that he begins to affect your heart? I love Bob's testimony about his son. He said he wanted to pull over and say, "Who is this kid?" Wow, what a tremendous testimony. That just goes to show you what a mighty God we serve. That he can begin to turn somebody completely around. That doesn't mean that that boy won't have trouble. So that doesn't mean that occasionally he won't have some problems. But thank God that God will be right there with him, protecting him, nourishing him, upholding him, and inviting him to come back with open arms if anything does happen. But we're going to believe that nothing's going to happen. And it says there, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And you know, the word for spirit there literally has the meaning of, it literally has the meaning of like a breath of air or a breeze. That's what it has the meaning of. But literally it means, in the Thayer's, it means a movement, a gentle blast of wind, a breath of the nostrils or of the mouth. And you know, when I read that, I was thinking about, you know, when somebody is dying or they're having a heart attack or something, and you go to give them CPR, what do you begin to do? You get down and you begin to breathe into their mouth. And you know, when God created man, he breathed into him the breath of life. And on the day of Pentecost, there come a mighty rushing wind into the upper room, and they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He breathed into that room. And aren't you glad that he breathes? I love that song that we sing, "You are the air that I breathe." You know, because literally he is the air that we breathe every day. Every time you take a breath, you're breathing in the presence of God. You're breathing in his creation because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But I love that, you know. And the next one there is, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And I'm going to talk to you about that word unto there. That word unto there literally has, it really has a more of a meaning of to or into. I like that it means into. A point reached or entered of place, time, or purpose. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that when he breathed into you, he was breathing his life into you so that you could come to a place, a point in time of place of time or of purpose. You realize he has a purpose for your life? A lot of times we question God and we say, "God, what's my purpose? Why am I here?" Instead of saying, "God, I'm going to just follow you each and every day and do what you tell me to do." That's where the obedience comes in, see? And if we do that, you'll fulfill his purposes. I mean, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I got to do a whole lot to make these things happen and to make these things where they are accomplished. I want you to know, you don't have to do nothing other than just each and every day say, "Lord, what would you have me do today?" And then what you feel like he wants you to do, do it. I'm going to tell you, when I stepped up here, and the Lord was dealing with me over there a little bit about haven't seen if anybody had any testimonies. Well, they did, you see. And I could have been disobedient and not asked for the testimonies. And had I done that, you wouldn't have got to hear about Bob's son today. You wouldn't have got to hear Kathy's testimony. You wouldn't have got to hear that scripture from Rich, you know. And I tell you what, those things, God knows exactly what he's doing. And if we'll be obedient, because he wants you to realize that you are his elect. You know, the candidates, once they were elected, they really didn't do anything to get in office other than going out and talking to people, trying to convince them that they was the right person. As far as the actual election, they had nothing to do with it. It was you all who elected them, you know. And as far as we're concerned, as far as the election stands in us, we have nothing to do with that other than it's God who has caused us to be his elect. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He foreknew you. He had a purpose and a plan for your life before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb. And I know a lot of times that's hard for us to believe that, but I want you to know that's definitely the truth. And it goes on there and it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, he poured his blood out on our lives. He poured his blood out that you wouldn't have to pour your blood out. And you know, his blood cleanses you from all sin. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And you know, the word for grace there is, I don't really like too much the definition where it says, you know, unmerited favor. It is partially that. But I like what Strong says. It says the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. And you know, Bob's son experienced the grace of God. And guess what? It started reflecting out into his life with a change even of character, even in that short span of time. You know, and thank God for that. And his peace be multiplied. You know, Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you, not as the world. And you know, we're to be peacemakers. The scripture tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God, basically. And we need to do that. And, you know, I've shared this little testimony with you once before, but years ago, one time, the guys were trying to get some health insurance at the place I worked. And I don't know why, but people always came to me and wanted me to be on the committees. And I guess it was because they thought I'd be honest and I would look out for their best interest, which I did. But, you know, they came and they wanted me to be on this committee. And I saw in this department right next to me, I was still running a machine at that time down at U.S. Drillhead, and I saw two guys over in another department, and I could tell they were debating about that insurance, and they were getting pretty hostile. And the one guy was a group leader, and if I mentioned a name, Bob would know who it was. It was Bill Tully. He was very hot-headed, you know, at times. And I was watching them, and I thought, oh, my God, you know, they're going to get into it, you know, because I could just see it developing. And I was in another department, but I could look over and watch them. So I walked over there, and I walked over to them, and I said, guys, I said, look, I said, don't argue about this. I said, we don't even know if this is going to get in or it's not going to get in. I said, it's not worth arguing over, you know. And right about that time, the guy behind me wrecked his machine. And he was running a grinder, and he blew a shaft out that was probably about 3 feet long and about that big around. And it flipped right up over. I had put a guard in between me and his machine because I didn't trust him because he was always kind of banging stuff, and I wanted to live a little longer. You know what I mean? And his machine was like right behind me. And I heard this big boom, and I turned around and I looked, and I saw that shaft flipping through the air like that, right up over that guard and it came right down where I was standing, would have been standing. And that whole scripture about blessed are the peacemakers had a whole new meaning to me after that. Because I thought, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I went over there and was a peacemaker, because I probably would have been killed, you know. And but I tell you what, folks, he wants to bring us into a place of multiplied peace, just more than we could ever imagine. And we need to be those peacemakers. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I got a couple other scriptures for you here, and then I'm going to close. I'm not going to talk to you a real long time. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and this is out of the Amplified Bible, and it says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good and charitable donation. And you know what? I believe that when you trust in the Lord and you realize that you're in a place of favor with Him, He has promised to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And I think a lot of times we're sometimes too quick to run to somebody and tell them what our need is instead of going to God directly and telling Him and then watching Him move. And I'm telling you, He will move and He will meet you. And sometimes it will not be how you thought it would be. I remember a story a preacher told one time about, you know, that his finances got low, and he was an evangelist and he lived out in the country, and he said he always counted on this one brother to give him money when he needed money. And he said he was down to just about nothing. He said he went in the closet, his prayer closet, and he said, I started praying. I said, oh, God, have brother so-and-so send me some money. You know? Have brother so-and-so send me some money, he said. And he said, so I come out of the closet after I prayed, and I thought I'd drive down to the post office box and find out if the money came, you know. And he said, and I could just, I could absolutely, totally visualize this as he was saying it, because when I used to stay with my uncle in the summertime, he described where my uncle lived, you know, as he was talking. He said he drove down this long gravel road, then he turned and went down this other gravel road, and then he went over these railroad tracks, then he got up to the main highway. And that's just perfectly described my Uncle Fred's farm out in the country. And he said he got up to the road, and the Lord said, now just watch. And he said, he sat there. And he said, I said, Lord, I don't see anything. And he said, I said, just watch. And he said, in a couple minutes, this farmer come down the road with a tractor, pulling a big load of corn on a big, you know, thing behind him. And he said, I said, Lord, I still don't see anything. He said, just watch. He said he went on down the road, and he said he got past where my road, and he said, and all of a sudden a couple ears of corn fell off on the highway. And he said, Lord, I still don't see anything. He said, just watch. He said, in a couple minutes a car came by, hit them pieces of corn and scattered corn all over the highway. And he said, Lord, I still don't see nothing. He said, just watch. He said a couple minutes later, the birds flew in, landed on the highway, and started eating the corn. And he said, then the Lord said to him, you see how I love the birds? He said, I'm your source, not brother so-and-so. And he said he went into town, and he said there was money in that post office box, but it wasn't from brother so-and-so. And you know what? God is your source. He's your ever-present help in time of need. He's the one that will meet you every time. It's not, you can't rely on other folks. And I'm just telling you, and don't, God uses people. He does use people. So don't get me wrong. But he'll cause it to come sometimes out of places that you never, ever expected it to come. And he is your source. And I'm going to read you one more scripture, and I think I'm going to close with this. And this is Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 11 through 23. And this is out of the Amplified Bible, too. It says, in him we also were made God's heritage, his portion. You know what your heritage gets? You know what your heritage gets, especially when something happens to you? Everything you had. And you know what? It says, in him we also were made God's heritage, his portion. We obtained an inheritance, for we have been foreordained, chosen, appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel of, and design of his own will, so that we who first hoped in Christ, who first put our confidence in him, have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. It's his glory. But he's going to give it to you because you're not another. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, have believed and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, and the foretaste of the down payment of our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. I'm going to read you one more because I think this other one goes good too. And this is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and this is out of the Amplified 2. It says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves or of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Not because of works, not fulfilling of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the results of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in or take glory to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. He's already prepared the paths he wants you to take, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. Okay. I'm trying to figure if I should stop here. There's other things there, but I'm going to read you something else. And I'm going to read this to you out of the Goodspeed Bible. You know, I have a lot of different translations at home. And Goodspeed is an old translation. And, you know, when I was teaching Sunday school years ago one time, I was talking about different translations. And my mother, for birthday presents and stuff like that, she always used to find me some translation that I didn't have, you know. She'd say, well, what do you got? And I'd tell her what I didn't have. And sure enough, for my birthday or something, I'd get one of those translations, you know. And I didn't have a Goodspeed, and I never could find one. And some of the old-time ministers used to quote from Goodspeed. So I mentioned that one time when I was talking. And then this is really special to me. Sister Lois one time said to me, she says, Oscar, she says, I've got one that belonged to Jim. She said, can I give it to you? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And she gave it to me. And it makes me cry because, you know, Jim was a special guy, Jim Pike. And I'm going to read this to you. This is out of 2 Peter. And this is what he had underlined in this Bible. And it says, I'm trying to read it here. It says the best portion in this book. And this is what he had underlined here. He said, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with pity, piety, and piety with a spirit of brotherhood, and the spirit of brotherhood with love. For if you have these qualities in their fullness, they will make you neither be idle nor unproductive when it comes to understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when he had underlined goodness, you know, I know that the scripture says that there's none good but God. But I think when you take that word there for goodness and you realize what he's really saying, be good to people. Treat them good. And you know, that was Jim. He would treat you good. I never was around Jim when he ever was not mindful of other people. And anytime you talked to him, it was usually about the Lord or about you. It wasn't usually about him. You know, and I know me and Clyde went up to the hospital when he was in the hospital and was real sick one time. And we went up there to pray for him. And we got up to the hospital. What happened when we got up there, Clyde? Who got prayed for? We did. That was Jim, see? That was Jim. Jim used to go out and sit in the, and I don't know if a lot of you know this, he used to go out and sit in the shopping centers and just sit down and look for opportunities to tell people about the goodness of the Lord and witness to them about Jesus Christ. So, you know, that to me is very special there, because it was the special portion for him in that chapter. And you know, and I love other people's Bibles, because if you looked at some of my Bibles, you'd see I had certain things underlined and all that, especially the ones that I read the most, you know. I mean, they're marked up and they're underlined and all this and that. And, you know, just things that God dealt with me. But I like what he wrote here. He wrote the best sentence in this book. And he said, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with piety, piety with the spirit of brotherhood, and the spirit of brotherhood with love. For if these things and qualities are in their fullness, they will have that you will neither be idle nor unproductive when it comes to the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I thought many a time about, I talked to Jim when he was going, you know, for a while there his kidneys shut down. And his kidneys totally shut down. And he was going to dialysis, and any of you all that know him would know this, he was going to dialysis. And when he was going to dialysis, he said that he was praying for the other people in the room. You know. And he went for quite a while to dialysis. I mean, his kidneys were totally shut down. And his kidneys started working again. And he got off of dialysis. He didn't have to do it no more. You know. But why? Because I think he fulfilled this scripture here. He was worried more about other folks. He was showing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living to other people. And I'm going to tell you what, never feel like that you can't minister, or because you don't stand up here, or because you're not teaching a class or whatever. I'm going to tell you, God uses you wonderfully if you'll just ask him, Lord, what would you have me do today? He might have you go sit somewhere and just, you know, just sit there. And I think you all have all heard the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He said one of the guys that drove him around, Smith Wigglesworth, If any of you didn't never read it, any of his stuff, God used him mightily back in the early days of Pentecost, you know, after the Azusa Street and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they raised people from the dead and all kind of things, you know. But Smith Wigglesworth was a man of faith. He really believed and trusted in God. And this guy that drove him around said one day Smith told him to take him over to this park. And he said he went over to this park and said Smith got out of the car and went over and sat down on the park bench. He said, just sat there. And the guy said, I sat there and watched him for a while, and I thought, you know, he's missed it this time. He said a few minutes later, some guy come over and sat down next to him on the park bench. He said a few minutes later, Smith struck up a conversation with him. They're sitting there talking. He said, next thing you know, Smith's got him kneeled down next to the park bench and leading him to the Lord. But you know what? He was obedient. God told him, go sit in the park. God might tell you, go sit in the park, or go sit at Frisch's, or go sit in McDonald's for a while. I tell you what, I was at a Hardee's one time, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go over to this woman that was over there and say to her that it would be all right with her daughter. And I went over and I said to her, I said, lady, I said, I don't know what this means. I said, but I feel like the Lord told me to come over and tell you it'll be all right with your daughter. She looked at me and she says, I don't have a daughter. I said, well, I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, I just feel like I was supposed to tell you this. And then she looked at me a minute, and a few minutes later she says, well, I got a stepdaughter. And I thought, well, there it is, lady. God wants you to know it'll be all right with your daughter. You have to begin to look at her as being your daughter, not your stepdaughter. You know? And so many times, just do the things God has you do. You don't have to know why you're doing it. You don't have to know what the results of it is. I don't know what happened out of that. Maybe there was a healing took place between her and her stepdaughter. I don't know. But you know, I know all I did was just what God told me to do. And I'm going to tell you what, be obedient. Do what God tells you to do. He has things that he's preordained for you to do. He has paths that he's already laid out for you to go. Be obedient. Do what he tells you to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close. I don't know if you have a song or not, Cynthia. If you do, you can. If you don't, then that's okay. How about you, Sherry? You got a song? Sherry, you need to get some songs together. I want to get you up here singing some. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for the testimonies today. I thank you, Father, that you have sometimes brought us down to the valley of Achor to give us a door of hope. And you are that hope. And you know, the valley of Achor is a valley of trouble. But Lord, help us to see you right in the middle of the trouble. Help us to not look at these things as being intruders in our life, but to welcome them as friends, because you're going to do something wonderful out of them if we'll just trust you. You're going to meet us in a special way. You're going to even cause us to no longer call you Lord in that instance, but to call you my husband, that there might be an intimate relationship there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. And I just ask you to bless your people, Father, and begin to release them into all the gifts and callings that you have for them, Father. I know that they're doing things that they're not always telling everybody that they're doing, and that's okay, Lord. But just help them to be obedient and do the things that you have them to do every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.